All right, let's go ahead and grab your Bibles and go over to Joshua chapter 6 and verse 12. As you're turning over there, Mrs. Payne is going to come and she's going to bring our special. And so, Mrs. Payne, if you want to come at this time, it's a blessing to have Mrs. Payne and her testimony. And so I'm looking forward to this special. Joshua chapter 6 and verse number 12. Thank you so much for that special this evening. The pianist did a fabulous job as well. And I don't know if that was your first time doing the special in church, but that was fabulous. I don't know if there's some motivation behind that or not. I don't know, but very good. And so that if you don't know, she rides my bus, and I get short jokes all Sunday morning, every Sunday morning that she's on my bus. And so if I can get back, then I'll take advantage of it for sure. So actually, it's worse than just short jokes. It's midget jokes. She throws that word out at me. So that was very good. Thank you so much for that special. Now, I did see some sign language from the balcony, and Brother Stone was trying to tell me something. He said he did one of these. I don't know if that means 6 minutes or 6 hours, 6 minutes. 6 minutes. All right. Now I got the signal straight. So you've got the time set, and you already deducted some from announcing the yes. All right. Very good. All right. So I plan on reading our text here, praying, and then we'll be dismissed. All right. So very good. It is a blessing. It's a privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit and to be able to preach. I am looking forward to hearing preacher. I really am. I'm really looking forward to hearing him. I got to talk to him on Monday morning, and I said, "Preacher, the people can't wait to see you. They miss you." And he said, I can't wait to get back to a Bible preaching, exciting service. And he reiterated vocally what he texted me on Sunday. So he can't wait to see you as well. And it's a huge privilege to be able to open up the Word of God behind this pulpit and to be able to preach tonight. Last week, I was in a service, but the service was a lot different than tonight's service. We had a bunch of juniors in there, about 200 juniors in the chapel last Wednesday evening, and they were going crazy. Actually, I think it was, yes, your kids were going crazy, believe it or not. I think it was on Wednesday night they made a new rule, no screeching. And he would come out with something, and the kids would get all excited, and the girls would go screeching, just like screech owls. You know what I mean? I don't know if they do that at home, if that's an exercise, a vocalizing exercise they do in the mornings. But, man, they could really screech it out there. I'm trying to look for our junior campers. Yes, there we go. Of course, it was the other kids, right? It's the other girls, right? And, of course, the guys didn't do that, but it was just the girls. So, but I must say the guys' side smelt very good. I have to remind you that we won the Cleanest Cabin Award. We got first place last Tuesday, so I just wanted to remind you about that. And eventually, throughout the week, the girls caught up with us, but the guys were doing an excellent job right from the get-go. So, very good. We're over in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 12. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 12. We're reading about the story of Joshua and defeating the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verse 12, we begin reading there. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests bare seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned unto the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. God, thank you that we can come to church. Lord, I love church. Many great things have happened in church in my life. Many life-changing decisions have been made in my life at the altar. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to come once again to your house. But Lord, us coming and meeting with one another and just having fellowship is not good enough. Lord, we need your presence to come down and meet with us. Lord, I do not have the words to touch people's hearts tonight, but your Holy Spirit does. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and be the focal point of this service. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts, encourage us, Lord, where there's some discouragement. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen where there's weakness and do a work in our midst. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. We just read, I believe, one of the most unique battles that Joshua led the children of Israel in. We have the song about it. It's one of the favorite, at least in my house, one of the favorite stories. It might be because I have a boy by the name of Joshua. But we like hearing the story, and we like singing the song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. But we just read where Joshua got up, and he gave the orders to the children of Israel. I can just imagine these men of war. These are not first-time warriors. These are men that have been skilled in war. They have gone through several battles as they were going through the wilderness, and they were attacked from behind, and they went through troubles and went through some battles. And so these men, it's not their first time facing battle. Joshua gets up and he says, men, I want you to get in line. We are going to go over the order in which we are going to attack Jericho. And so the men, they get ready. And Joshua says, I want you to line up single file. I can just hear the men say, yeah, we learned this in kindergarten. Line up in single file. All right, we'll line up. and see what he's going to tell us, how we're supposed to attack the walls. And so these men, they all line up single file. And the Bible says the ark of the Lord comes in front of them, and then the priests come and they're blowing. And so the Bible gives us the orders that Joshua told the men. He said, we're going to go single file and we're going to march around the city one time on day one. Then when we wake up day two, we're going to march around the city one time on day two. Then we're going to come back to the camp. We're going to rest. And then we're going to get up on day three. And we're going to march to the city and we're going to march around the city on day three. Then on day four, we're going to wake up and we're going to go to the city. And then we're going to march around the city one time on day four. And then on day five, we're going to get up and we're going to walk to the city. And we're going to march around the city one time on day five. So on day six, we're going to wake up and we're going to go to the city. And they said, I bet I can guess what we're going to do. We're going to march around the city one time and then we're going to go back to the camp and rest. I said, that's right. Day seven, we're going to get up and we're going to walk to the city. We're going to march around that city. But that's not it. We're going to march a second time. We're going to march a third time. Then we're going to march a fourth time and a fifth time and a sixth time and then a seventh time. And then Joshua said, we're going to blow the trumpets and we're going to shout and the walls are going to come down flat, just like God told us they would. And so Joshua gives the orders, and I can imagine as the children of Israel, they line up, and as they start going around the walls, can you imagine how exciting it would have been to see those walls that first time? Man, it would have been wonderful. See where all the entries are of the city and how tall they are and how thick they are and who's on the walls. And walking around that city that first time, they get back to the camp and they all rest. Second day, they get up and they do the same thing. Now, a little bit less exciting that second day, but they still did what they were supposed to do. Can you imagine the third day? Well, that's the same stone that I saw 3 days ago. I've seen that entryway three times. What in the world, Joshua? Can't we do something else? Joshua says, no. Men, God told us to march around the city today. So we cannot do anything else but march around that city. And I can see, hear the murmuring. Now, you got to realize these people are professional murmurers. So they really get the murmuring going on. All right, about day three, day four, they get to murmuring and it gets louder and louder. And they start walking around the city, and Joshua says, hey, I said no noise while we're walking around the city. And so they get there the seventh day, and I can't imagine how excited these men were to yell or to say something to these walls. And so they blow the trumpet, and the men, they shout with a great shout, the Bible says. And the walls fell down flat. Can you imagine the excitement that took place there in the camp of the children of Israel? What a great battle. I think it's one of the most unique battles that Joshua led the children of Israel in. The success or failure of the nation of Israel rested on their faithfulness to the orders. The success or failure of the nation rested upon the faithfulness of their orders. Yes, I'm sure it was monotonous to go around the wall 13 times. And walk around that wall and be jeered at and be laughed at. And I'm sure those men on the wall did not just stand there and look at them. I'm sure they had something to throw at them or some words to say. But I'm sure it got monotonous. But the only avenue of winning the battle was through the orders that they were given by God to Joshua and then Joshua to them. You see, sometimes Christians go to the Bible expecting to find a new command from God. But find the command is one more lap of the same. One more lap of the same. One more lap. I want you to get up in the morning. I want you to pray. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to go to church Sunday morning. I want you to go to church Sunday night. I want you to go to church Wednesday night. I want you to serve God in the church. I want you to be a faithful church member. I want you to serve God. I want you to be a witness. It's the same command over and over and over and over and over. One more lap of the same. One more lap of the same. I want to preach tonight a message entitled, Just One More Lap. Just one more lap. You see, the Christianity is godly living in a routine. Christian living is godly living in routine. Let's say this is the Christian life. We have the Christian life here, and it's just one more lap of the same. So Monday I wake up and I read my Bible and I pray and I walk with the Lord and I try to be a witness all day long. Tuesday I wake up and I read my Bible and I pray and try to be a witness all day long. Wednesday I wake up and I read my Bible and I pray. I go to church and I try to be a witness all day long. One more lap of the same thing. Over and over and over. You say, Brother Caleb, isn't routine kind of boring? Well, it is, unless you know who you're doing the routine for. Routine can seem boring, but it is the key to faithfulness. Routine can be boring, but it is the key to faithfulness. I cannot be faithful in my Christian life if I'm not in the routine of doing godly activity and godly actions. I must be in a routine. I must make sure I finish my lap for that day. So tomorrow morning I wake up and I'm going to do the same lap that I did today. I'm going to get up, read my Bible and pray and try to be a witness for Christ. Same thing Friday. You say, Brother Caleb, that's kind of boring. No, it's kind of faithful is what God calls it. It's kind of what our Christian responsibility is to be. You see, Israel won on routine. The first day, around the city. Second day, around the city. Third day, around the city. It was routine. They won on the concept of routine. Over and over and over the same thing. There was a man that was running a race. His name was Lopez. Lopez came to the, or he was invited to come to the Peyton Jordan Cardinal Invitational. So he came to that race, and it was a foot race, and he got on the starting line, and the noise was made, and off he went. Lopez was one of the fastest runners he was the fastest runner on the track. Man, he came around the corner and he was so excited. He was ahead of everybody. He came to the finish line or to the marker that would tell him that it's the second lap. He's going to go into the second lap. But he got confused mentally and he thought it was his last lap. He came across that line and he threw his arms up and he said, "Yes, I won, I won," as the other runners whipped past him. He said, "I won." And a voice from the crowd said, "You've got one more lap to go. You've got one more lap to go." And I believe spiritually sometimes, Christians, we get to a spiritual level in our lives and we say, "Wow, I won. I won. I'm going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm reading my Bible. I won." But God says, "Hey, one more lap. One more lap. Stay on the track. One more lap. Stay in there. Read your Bible. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep going to church. One more lap. It's not done. The victory is not won yet. We have to stay in one more lap." Joshua, what are we doing this morning? One more lap, fellas. All right. Now what do you want us to do? One more lap. How about now, Joshua? This is day 3. How about now? One more lap. What do you want me to do, God? I want you to make another lap. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. I want you to go to church. One more lap. You see, I want to show you a couple of things about routine in the Christian life. Routine in the Christian life is so important that we get some things down in our lives. It becomes our second nature. Reading our Bible becomes second nature. You say, "Brother Caleb, why in the world are you touching Bible reading?" Because it's summer and the summer schedule gets out of routine. And the last thing you pick up in the day is the Bible. And you think, "Oh, I'm exhausted. I don't have time to read." And so you skip a day or two of Bible reading. And you can't go spiritually. You can't stay strong spiritually when you skip Bible reading and prayer and church attendance. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so it's very important that we have a routine in our Christian life. First of all, routine was simple yet profound. Routine was simple yet profound. Joshua, what are we going to do? You want us to get the big machines out there? You want us to bust through those walls of Jericho? What do you want us to do, Joshua? Joshua says, "No, I want you to get in line and I want you to," are you ready? Here it goes. "I want you to walk." Walk. Yes, I want you to walk. Walk like one foot in front of the other? Yeah, I want you to walk. Joshua, that's pretty simple. How are we going to beat the enemy just walking? How are we going to beat the enemy with such a simple routine, Joshua? The Bible says in Joshua 6 and verse 3, "And ye shall compass the city, all the men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." Over and over and over the simple routine of just walking. You say, "Brother Caleb, you think the soldiers were laughing?" Oh, yeah. I think the soldiers were laughing because it's such a simple battle plan. Such a simple battle plan. These guys are going to beat us on the wall by just walking around us. They're crazy. They got something loose in their head or something. Something's not quite right. How are they going to beat us with such a simple routine? Oh, but the Christian, the children of Israel, they looked at it with something different than just routine and just walking. They looked at it as it was fulfilling the command that God had given them. When they walked around that city, they didn't just see another footstep. No, they saw another command of God obeyed. One day they obeyed God. The second day they obeyed God. The third day they obeyed God. One day right after another. Simple command of just obedience. That's all it was. Simple obedience when they walked around that city. Simple obedience. You see, the people in Jericho, the soldiers of Jericho, saw that it was just a simple battle plan. Children of Israel saw that it was obedience from God. See, the world looks at our Bible reading and says, great historical book. The world looks at our prayer lives and say, what a great religious routine. The world looks at our service to God and says, hey, that's pretty good deeds that you do every week. The world looks at our tithing and says, great tax deduction there. But I look at our service towards God, and God looks at our service and he says, hey, it's something more than just simple practice of a religious group. No, it is an opportunity. My Bible reading is an opportunity for Caleb Hansen to hear from God. My Bible reading is a time when I can hear what God has for my life. My prayer life is an opportunity for God to walk, or for me to walk with God. My service to God is an opportunity for me to show God that I love Him. My tithe is another opportunity to show God, I want to obey you, God. So it's not just a simple command. It has profundity involved in inside of it. I'm not just doing religious activity. No, I am serving a God that I love. It's not just simple practice. Young person, it's not just reading your Bible every morning. It's not just praying a prayer list every morning. It's not just going to your Sunday school class again. It is walking with the Creator of the universe. It is going to your Heavenly Father's house, ready for Him to talk to you during the preaching and during the teaching of His Word. It is putting what God has for your life into practice. It's not just a simple responsibility. It is what God wants for my life. It's what God wants for my life. The profundity of it is that I get to know the Creator of the universe. I get to know my God. I love that song that Lester Ruhloff used to sing. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Will I pray and cry aloud and He shall hear my voice. He shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray. Huh? It's not just the routine. But there's something more to it than just a simple command. Read your Bible. Something more to it than just pray. So I get to walk with the Creator of the universe. Secondly, I see that the routine seemed futile, yet brought victory. The routine seemed futile, yet brought victory. First of all, the routine, it was simple, but it was profound. Secondly, the routine seemed futile, yet brought victory. The Bible says in Joshua 6 and verse 20, "And the people shall shout with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." You see, the children of Israel said that we must go in and we must conquer the city of Jericho once the walls fell flat. But the soldiers on the wall, they said all they're doing is walking around. They'll never be able to grasp the victory of our city. They'll never be able to conquer us. Because all they're doing is just walking around the city. It'll never help them. Can you imagine how discouraging that first day was? When Joshua said, all right, men, let's walk around the city. And away they go. They will start walking around the city. And he says, all right, now everybody back to their tents. Can you imagine how embarrassing and how discouraging it would have been for the little kids to come up and say, hey, how was the battle today? These great big burly guys say, well, we really didn't have a battle. Then what did you do? Well, we walked. All right, you walked all day. We walked here in the camp too, all day long. That's all you did? Yeah, that's all we did. Can you imagine day two? These great big soldiers coming back from the battlefield and the little kids gather around and say, come on, tell us some victory stories. Come on, tell us about how you beat the enemy today, Daddy. Come on, you got to have a story for me. And the dad sits down in his tent and says, well, there was no victory. Sorry. Can you imagine how discouraging it would be for day three to come around and the kids to gather once again and say, Daddy, tell us a good story. I'm sure you got a good story. And the dads might begin the story. Well, there's a great noise. We all looked up and a pebble fell from the wall. But we thought we were going to get them. But that's about the exciting story that we have. That's it. Right there. You got it all today. Well, day four comes along and no stories. No stories. It was the same simple thing. Do you imagine after walking that wall six times? And we kind of read it as a fairy tale, like walking around our house or walking around the premises of the church here. But we're talking about walking around a city, a huge city like Bourbonnais, or walking around Brandon. Well, Bourbonnais is not that huge, but walking around a city. And then absolutely nothing taking place. 6 days in a row, nothing taking place. Do you think that'd be discouraging? Yeah, I think it'd be real discouraging. Those men come back every day with no good report, no report about a victory, no report as far as deaths, no report as far as good stories or being able to tell the people about something, not being able to be cheered on. Boy, you are victors today. None of that. It seemed futile. You know what happens when you get into a Christian routine? You wake up, you read your Bible, you pray. You wake up, you read your Bible, you pray. You wake up, you read your Bible, you pray, and over and over and over, and the day is filled with all the kinds of stuff. But basically, spiritually, you wake up, you read your Bible, you pray, you are a witness to people. The devil comes along in your ear, and he begins to whisper to you, it's all in vain. It really isn't accomplishing much. The responsibility and the routine of Christianity is not really helping you. All it does is it takes time from your morning. When you could be doing much more than what you're doing right now, you're stuck sitting up reading a book and you're looking over this list and you don't get your prayers answered and you don't get anything from your Bible and you don't get anything from church and you aren't able to serve and have that joy of the Lord in your heart when you're serving. It really isn't helping you at all. That's what the devil comes along and says. The routine is futile. It's not beneficial. It does not help you at all. The men, as they walked around that city, I'm sure they got that feeling. Do you know what I want to tell you, Christians? I want to tell you, routine of the Christian life sometimes does not seem like it is very profitable, but it is always fruitful. It is always beneficial to stay in the routine of your Christian walk with God. Just stay in there. Stay in there. You say, Brother Caleb, I woke up this morning. I didn't get anything on my prayer list or anything on my Bible reading. And I didn't see God answer one prayer today. Stay in there. Stay in there. Stay in there. Don't let the devil come by and tell you it's futile. Take another lap. Take another lap. It'll pay off in the long run. It'll pay off. Joshua says to the men, walk again. What are we going to do this morning, Joshua? Walk again. What are we going to do, God, this morning? Read your Bible again. What are we going to do, God? Be another witness today. Just keep on doing the routine of the Christian life. Keep on doing the routine over and over and over and and over. You say it can be boring. It's not boring when you realize who you're doing the routine for. If you're connected to the person that you're doing the routine with, it's not that boring. I can imagine in my mind as the soldiers walked around that city, maybe on the sixth day, you gotta realize these guys were professional murmurers. They knew how to spread a bad report as well. Can you imagine the word sliding through or spreading through the line? This isn't gonna work. This isn't gonna work. Have you ever had somebody come to you and tell you what you're doing isn't really helpful and really isn't going to work in the long run? It really takes the wind right out of you, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah, it takes the wind right out of your drive and your motivation. And the rumor goes around, this is not really going to help. We're not really going to accomplish anything just walking around the wall. I think we should attack. I think we should go for the main entrance. I think we should get in there. I can imagine somebody starting the rumor, the seventh day is coming. The seventh day is coming. As you're walking around, the seventh day is coming. Hey, seventh day is coming. Yeah, we might be walking today, but the seventh day is coming. Yeah, you guys on the walls, you might be mocking today, but the seventh day is coming. Yeah, you might be tossing little stones down from the wall, but the seventh day is coming. Hey, God's going to do something for us. We're going to get the victory one way or another. We just stay in the routine. God will give us the victory. Yes, and Christian, you might get up in the morning and not get anything out of your Bible reading. You might wake up and not hear anything from God as you pray. You might go to church and not get anything in the services. You might go to Sunday school teacher and teach another lesson. It just seems like it bounces off the foreheads of the people that you're teaching. It just isn't sinking in. You might go bus worker to the bus route and it seems like the kids aren't really interested in learning the verses and being on the bus route anymore. Or sure, you might walk down the aisle and try to greet people and you get faced with a grumpy face or a denied handshake. Yes, soul winner, you might go out. You might knock on another door. Another door slammed in your face. Yes, I'm telling you, family units, you might sit down and have family devotions, but it just seems like there's some contention in the home and it just seems like the kids are not grasping the concept that you're trying to get across to them, moms or dads. It just is not working. But I want to tell you, stay in there. The seventh day is coming. The walls are going to come down sooner or later. Just stay with the routine. Stay with the routine. It's so important. So important. The devil comes by and he tells you all kinds of lies. It's not going to help you. But it is. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. And you pray. Walk with God. Walk with God. Hannah went to the temple. The Bible says she went as a custom. She went to the temple or to the tabernacle at that time. She went and she would pray to God. God, give me a son. God, give me a son. Please, would you give me a son? She'd go home, no son. She'd go the next year. Say, God, give me a son, please. I desire a son. God, would you hear my prayers? She'd go home, no son. She'd go the next year and she'd pray the same thing over and over and over and over. And it seemed like God was not hearing her. God was not listening. His ears were turned off towards her prayers. But Hannah stayed in there. Through routine, she kept on going. You know what? Seventh day came for her. And God told her through the mouth of Eli, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child, a little baby boy. You see, her prayers weren't answered the first time she prayed them. But through routine, through faithfulness to what God wanted her to do, she had that little child. God, just stay in there. New Christians, folks that are just new to the church, stay in there. Stay in there. It just seems like that you can almost determine when the devil is going to come to a person and trying to discourage them. The devil's going to throw all kinds of stuff. You get back right with the Lord, or you just get saved, and you get into the church, and you're growing, and you're doing different things for Christ. And the devil comes by, and he's going to try to kick you out of the routine of the Christian walk. I'll guarantee you he's going to try to do that. You just stay locked in there. Don't let the devil derail you from your walk with God. Say, I don't care if everything else falls apart in my life, I'm going to stay to one thing, and that is my walk with God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful to the church services. Seventh day is coming. Seventh day is coming. Stay in there. Stay locked in. You see, the Bible says, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Routine is simply faithfulness. That's all it is. These men walking around the walls of Jericho, all they were doing is just being faithful to a command. That's all they were doing, just being faithful to a command. It's pretty simple. And you know what God said? Moreover, meaning above all things, the number one thing I'm looking for in your life is your faithfulness. That's the number one thing. Yes, you say, I don't have talent, I don't have this, and I don't have that. And you know what? I don't care. God doesn't care. He says, I want you to have faithfulness. Because faithfulness gives me something to work with. But if God has prepared something for you and Pastor Angel, God's prepared something for you in the message on a Sunday morning, and God has laid it on Pastor Angel's heart to bring it to the pulpit and to preach on it, and it's just for you, and God has you in mind and many other people, but it's going to help you, and God wants you to be blessed and encouraged through that truth. And then you're not faithful to come to church. Did that truth really help you any? No. It didn't help you at all. Because the routine was not there. You did not stay locked in to the routine. Routine is critical. When I go to on vacation, it never fails. Brother Payne always texts me and says, brother, just wanted to let you know you missed it. Big caps. You missed it. I think I text back and said, thanks, brother. I really need to know that for sure. And never fails. He's always willing and ready to tell me I missed it. I hate missing out. I hate missing out. You get sick and you weren't able to make it to church on a particular service. And then that was the service where everybody is talking about it. Man, it was awesome. God met with us. The altar was full and people were crying and decisions were being made. And I made this decision and it was the most amazing service that we've had. And there you're standing. Oh, yeah, I understand. Yep, and where was I? Sick. Throwing up in the toilet. That's a real blessing. Huh? Yeah. The routine is so critical for the Christian. Get it down. Bible reading, prayer, going to church, serving God, and being a witness. The routine of those few items in a Christian's life are critical. And God says, the number one thing I'm looking for is faithfulness. You know what? I can sign my name to being faithful. That doesn't take a whole lot of work. All I have to do is show up. Huh? All I have to do is just what I've been told to do. And I can accomplish that. I can obey. Huh? I can just follow through in the orders. That's pretty simple. And every one of us can do the same thing. There is no excuse to lack of faithfulness. There's absolutely no excuse to the faithfulness, to not be faithful to the commands that God gives us with the simple things of reading and praying and going to church and those simple things. The third thing about routine, the faithful or the routine was despised, yet brought favor. The routine was despised, yet brought favor. Can you imagine these guys on the top of the wall of Jericho? The Israelites did not all of a sudden appear right in front of their walls. They saw them coming a long way off. Can you imagine them thinking, oh, here they come again. Oh, yeah, here we go. Gonna walk one more time. Let's walk, walk, walk away, Israelites. Here we go. And boy, they started walking. Huh? Can you imagine how they mocked and they scoffed and despised Joshua's plan? What a silly little plan. The Bible says, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Through that despised plan, God gave them favor. And he blessed and destroyed the city of Jericho. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God says that there's going to be people that mock at the routine of Christianity. You read the Bible how often? You pray how often? You're doing what? There's going to be people that mock at the routine of Christianity. I was talking to a man last night. and knocked on his door. He's a construction worker. We talked a little while. I said, do you have a Bible in your house? He said, yes, I do. I was trying to get him to think about the Bible being the roadmap to heaven. He said, yes, I have a Bible, but really, to be honest with you, I don't read the thing. I don't read the thing at all. It just sits there. You know what? The world's view on the Bible and the simple commands of God are very, very low. And we could even go probably a little bit further. They are despised. Why would you do that? Why do you go out and knock on doors? Isn't that a little bit embarrassing? Isn't that little putting yourself out there on a limb, ready to get your nose pinched in the door or something, huh? Isn't it kind of crazy on the loony side? Huh? They despise the routine of God or godly living. They say it's foolishness. But God looks at it and He says, you gain favor in mine eyes when you obey me. Obedience to God always brings God's favor upon a person's life. Let me say that again. Obedience to God always brings favor, God's favor on a person's life. God looks at you and He says, boy, you are reading your Bible, you're praying, I'm going to bless you. I see that you are faithful to my commands. I'm going to look down upon you and I'm going to look favorably on you. Do you want the favor of God on your family? Men, husbands, do we want the favor of God on our families? Is that what I want? Yes, I want the favor of God on my family. Is that what you want? I believe you do. Do you want the favor of God in your finances? Do you want the favor of God in your service for Him in the church? Do you want the favor of God on your life? I think the answer would come back with an overwhelming yes. Brother Caleb, I want the favor of God. But there's only one way. Let me ask you. Do you treat your kids to Dairy Queen after they have torn up your house and the boys threw a ball and where they weren't supposed to and busted out your front window and the kids haven't listened all day and it's just been one disobedient thing after another disobedience and you think, oh my goodness, I'm going crazy with these kids. You're about ready to turn around and say, all right, everybody in the van, let's go to Dairy Queen. Huh? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And neither is God about ready to say, man, I'm going to pour out my blessings upon that person because they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they don't even go to church, they don't do this, they don't do that. You think God doesn't have enough, as much common sense as we do with our kids? I think God has a whole lot more common sense with us. I think He is the first father. I think He knows how to rear His kids. And God says, I'm not going to show you favor upon your home if you aren't at least doing the basic routine of the Christian life. There was a man by the name of Cliff Young, lived in Australia. He heard about a race in Australia that is 543.7 miles long. This man heard about when the date is of the race, the date of the race. And with this race, it's a 5-day race. And the race is really just for people that are world athletes. They are 30 and under. They are people that have trained for this race for years, pretty much their whole life, for this specific race in Australia. In 1983, the men lined up, the runners lined up at the starting line, knowing that they had 543.7 miles ahead of them to run. 5 days worth of 18 hours of running and 6 hours of sleeping. They lined up at the starting line and they looked to the side and there's a man that came up to the starting line. He had bib overalls on and he had this number on his chest. And they looked over and said, are you going to be a spectator? And he said, no, I'm running. They looked down and he had work boots on. The man said, I'm going to run the race. He said, all right, well, we'll see you at the finish line. So the race started and they whipped right past that man, Cliff Young. And the race was on and boy, the people were running. They were running and they were getting distance on him. But old Cliff Young, he just kept on running, jogging more so, just jogging away. There was a couple of things that Cliff didn't realize. that there was a schedule to this race. There was 18 hours that most of the runners would run, the 18 hours, and then most of the runners would sleep for 6 hours. Cliff didn't know that. So he just kept on going. 15 hours passed, Cliff kept on running. 16 hours passed, he kept on running. Got to 18 hours, nobody told him the secret. He just kept on running. He ran for 24 hours and got a little bit closer to those other professional runners. And he just kept on running. Boy, 36 hours passed and he was still running. And the news reporters started gathering around Cliff Young, asking him, when are you going to rest? He said, I'm in a race. I got to keep on going. I got to keep on going. And he just kept on jogging. They said he jogged a little bit odd. He kind of shuffled. He shuffled while he was jogging. But he just kept on going. The second night came. All the runners laid down and they were taking a rest for 6 hours. But old Cliff, nobody told him. He kept on running. I forgot to tell you, he was 61 years old. Cliff is running along the second night, all night long. He gets into the third day, he's a-running. And all the runners are ahead of him, but he's gaining some ground on them. He comes to the third night, and they all lay down once again, and he keeps on a-running. As the course of the race goes, and the last night, they all lay down once again for 6 hours, and Cliff just kept on a-running. Guess what he saw about halfway through that night? He saw a bunch of runners that were sleeping. And he just kept on running on by them. It says in the story, in 1983, Cliff Young ran that race and came out first place, 543.7 miles. You say, Brother Cale, how in the world did he do that? 61 years old and just kept on running that race when he didn't even train for it? Because he just kept on doing one more lap. Just kept on going. Just kept on going. You know what? You might not be the most talented Christian. You might not be the most beautiful singer. Or you might not be the most skilled teacher. Or you might not be the best nursery worker. Or you might not be, I don't know what all is included in that one. But you might not be the best Sunday school helper or whatever. I don't know. But you can do one thing and you can stay faithful to the routine of the Christian life. Up in the morning and praying and reading your Bible and serving God in the church. You can do the simple things. The routine of the Christian life. Same thing. One more lap. One more lap. What are we going to do this morning, Joshua? We're going to take another lap. What are we going to do tomorrow morning, Christians? I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to take another lap. It seems so boring and so simple, doesn't it? But it's profound. Because I get who I get to run the lap with. I get to run the lap with my Savior. I get to build a personal walk with Him. It seems so futile sometimes. I don't get a whole lot out of my Bible reading on a morning. Seventh day's coming. Seventh day's coming. Just stay in there. Stay in there. New Christian, old Christian, alike, it doesn't matter. You've got to stay faithful to the routine. You've got to stay faithful to the routine because that's where God's favor is. You want God's favor on your life? You want God's favor on your home, your family, on your child rearing? You want God's favor? You've got to stick to those Christian routines that we have been given. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In the time of the year when routine is not necessarily priority, we must make it priority in our Christian life. How about it? Seems simple, doesn't it? But have you seen the profundity of it? Who you get to walk with? Who you get to serve while you're running another lap? Have you been faithful to the Lord? Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I just don't feel like I have the favor of God on my life right now. I just don't feel like it. My question would be, are you faithful to the routine? I don't know what the Lord spoke to your heart about or if the Lord spoke to your heart. But maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, while the message was being preached, God slipped by my pew. Now I want to at least recognize the Lord doing a work in my heart. That's me tonight. Would you pray for me? You just slip your hand up. I see those hands. Put them down. We're going to have a simple invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you can come and do that. You can do business with the Lord here at the altar. We're going to go ahead and stand to our feet. As the pianist and the organist begin to play, if God spoke to your heart, you come and do business with Him.